taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this seventh day of March 2025. And tonight our producer is the mighty Seth.
Good evening. Good evening.
There you go. He's supposed to roar somewhere. All right.
It's
there
late.
You go. All right. And live here in the studio, we have the Elder Barkley.
Good evening. Our God reigns.
All right. Amen. Now, she does more than she should be able to do. She has been sold out. And with her health conditions, COPD, she should not be able to do all that she does, but she does. She's got crowns waiting for her in heaven, okay? A lot of them, okay? So you heard the cackle. That belongs to none other than Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
And way out yonder, where were this? In the land of Texas, where the Longhorns roam. We have none other than Big John McTernan.
Well, hello, Pastor Ernie, and as usual, God bless you and all our listeners, and may we have a wonderful show full of truth.
All right, very, very good. And but I'll tell you how we got to start. Yesterday, we had an emergency. I got a call early, and you remember Ron Ritz? He used to join us on Friday nights. Well, as a co-host, Ron had to go in for emergency surgery yesterday. And we thought everything came out all right. He had surgery on his colon, and so, but it didn't. Things took a turn for the worse, and he had to go back in for more surgery today. And I haven't heard recently how he's doing, but it wasn't good. And so, John, would you pray for... For Ron, would you pray for a healing and the Lord's blessing for Ron?
Yeah. Lord, we have Brother Ron before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, there's a medical emergency we don't know the full details on, but he does need, in his colon, Lord, he does need a move of the Holy Spirit, Lord. So that's what we're asking for. We're asking for that whatever was done would be successful. He would recover, Lord. He would be back on his feet, and he would be used for you to bring glory to your name. Now, in Jesus' name, we ask this. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
The title of the message was, "Will we know each other in heaven, and will we have pets in heaven? Will our pets be in heaven?" So today we're going to pick it up where we left off in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Because the Bible doesn't say directly, yes, you will know each other in heaven in those exact words, but it does make it imply pretty clearly that we will, and in a lot of different ways. And so we're going to pick it up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses starting with verse 13. And John, would you read verses 13 through 18?
"But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another these words."
So right off the bat, what would you say is an indication that he, well, obviously we see that he's not speaking to individuals, but he's speaking to the church as a group. And he's starting by referring to the Old Testament saints first, okay? And then those, you know, that are asleep. And he's not talking about soul sleep here, is he? He's talking about as the Lord comes back, he's coming back from heaven. And people get this confused. Wait a minute. I don't understand. He said that when you're dead, you're sleeping. Well, we are triune beings, aren't we? That means we have a body, soul, and a spirit. So when we die, our soul and spirit go home to be with the Lord right away, don't they?
The Bible says, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
So our body drops, it goes back to the dust, and then we go, our spirit and soul, go to be with the Lord in heaven. So now the Lord Jesus is returning, and now this is not the second coming. He doesn't return back to the earth. He returns back to the first heaven, doesn't he? And then we are with him. We come as a cloud. It's referring to a cloud. That's us. And then our bodies in the dust are resurrected. First, the Old Testament saints, and then the ones that are, those that are asleep in him, and then those that are alive and left alive, they'll be caught up together, won't they?
Yes. Yes. There's a resurrection of those that the Lord's bringing back with him. They have a resurrected body. And then we that are alive, we're transformed. It's not a resurrection. It's a transformation from a body of sin to a body like Jesus Christ.
So it's like a transfiguration. In other words, we get our glorified bodies. So the bodies would be like Christ, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so now here he says, in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with its trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain," here's the key verses, right? "We'll be caught up together." We'll be caught up together, right? So when that rapture takes place, if we're in the same room together, or if we're, no matter where we're at together, when that takes place, we're going to be caught up together, aren't we?
Yes, in the air.
So if it took place right now while we're here in the studio, when we got to heaven, we would still know each other, wouldn't we?
Well, that's what it looked like, Pastor Ernie. And the object here, Paul is answering the question about what happens to them that die in the Lord before he returns. So they're interested in their family and good and friends and all of that. And the Lord is saying that he's going to come with them, and they're going to be receive a resurrected body and will be transformed, which all gives the indication, you know, we're going to know each other.
Oh, absolutely. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And Randall, if you would read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15.
Okay, 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God.
Okay, so here you got kind of a question. You got a mystery, right? Because Scripture says that the Lord Jesus raised himself from the dead. He rose, but here it says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also in Jesus and present us with you. So then, who was it that raised up Jesus?
Well, the Trinity did, Pastor.
You would be right, because in that you had the pecking order, if you will, and that was the Father. God the Father gives the marching orders. God the Son always carries him out, and the Holy Ghost always provides the power, huh? From Genesis to Revelation.
Yes, that's the God.
So then God raised up the Father, the Son, by giving the order, arise, okay? And the Son raised up himself by carrying out the order, didn't he? Silence.
I thought you made a statement.
All right, there you go. For all things are for your sakes, that abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 17. And in Matthew chapter 17, the verses 1 through 8. Matthew chapter 17. Okay, verses 1 through 8. Go ahead.
And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice came out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when he had lifted up their eyes, and when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only.
Okay, so now they had never seen, the disciples had never met Moses or Elijah. So how do they know them?
That's a good point.
All righty.
By Yeah, how did they know him? By just seeing him?
Well, they were known because they were given that knowledge, mm-hmm. okay? Now, they did have knowledge of the Old Testament, and now here.
Right.
So now here, it was an interesting thing because this is the third time in the Scripture where the Father says, "This is my Son." He's making a point that Peter, you guys messed up. You don't put my Son on the same level with the prophets. You don't do that, okay? This is not about them. Do you understand? Okay. And so Peter figured it out pretty quick, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
When he fell on his face because he was so afraid.
Yeah.
Now, here, though, when you take a look at that, it's an interesting thing. He says, of course, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man but Jesus only. He goes on, and as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Now, here again, so it's an interesting thing that he allowed them to see this, and somehow they knew that this was Moses, and somehow they knew that this was Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to go over to 2 Samuel chapter 12, and in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 through 23. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uri's wife had bare unto David, and it was very sick. And David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread or he bed with him. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him the child is dead? But when David saw the servants whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said unto his servant, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. And then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came to the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, Wilt, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst raise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Now, a couple of things. Why did the Lord take the child?
Well, because that was an illegal situation right there with David and Bathsheba.
Well, David had committed murder.
Mm-hmm.
He had Uri murdered, right?
Right, and taken Bathsheba, yeah.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. Bathsheba wasn't quite innocent in all this.
No, they were both complicit.
When Bathsheba went out on the rooftop to bathe, did she know that David could see her? If she could see him, that he could see her?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so she knew exactly what she was doing, didn't she?
I believe so.
But I don't believe she wanted... Now, when... when David ordered Uriah to go home and lay with his wife, because David knew he was trying to cover up when he found out she was pregnant, huh?
Right.
But here, you know, be sure your sins will find you out.
Yes.
And so what happened when David, when Uriah refused to go and sleep with his wife, then David had to do something now, and so he had him killed, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, Nathan had told David, hey, David, he told him a story about this rich man who had many, many sheep, mm-hmm. and he had a feast, but instead of using his own sheep, he went to the neighbor that only had one and took his only one. What do you think he was saying there? David had a lot of wives, didn't
yeah,
he? Okay.
Yeah.
And so he was making a point with David that you had a lot of wives, but then David, you went and took Uriah's only wife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so why would he take the child, okay? Do you think God knew beforehand that this was going to happen?
Oh, yeah.
And so now the taking of the child, okay, that sent a pretty strong message to David and Bathsheba both, didn't it?
Yeah.
Now here comes the questions, and maybe only McTurnan knows, because he knows a lot of stuff that we don't know.
I'm ready, Bister. I'm ready.
No. So there's a theory, a common theory, been there for years from the theologians that when we appear, because the Bible says when we appear over and over, we will be like him, we will be like him, we will be like him. Now, when Jesus died or went back to heaven, when he left and went back to heaven and his resurrected body, he was 33 years of age. So a lot of theologians believe that we're all going to be appear, all the adults, at the age of 33. You know, because we will be like him in our glorified bodies. Now, the glorified bodies will look a lot better than the bodies we have now. I mean, boy, I wouldn't want to spend all of eternity looking the way I do now at my age. Mm-hmm. Right?
You look good, Pastor.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
John. We got to get a better deal, right? I mean, we don't want to spend all of eternity looking this way. I mean, I don't even want to spend next week looking this way. But so we're going to have a glorified body. We're going I kind of hold to that. I kind of think that that's exactly what that means, that we're going to be. But now, John, here's the question. What about all the babies that have died? Now, are they going to continue to grow? We know there'll be children in heaven because God loves children, right? Are they going to continue to grow? And if they do, since there'll be no time left in heaven, there'll be no time. The time stops. We enter into eternity. So now, are they going to grow at the rate like they do today? Are they going to grow? One day is with 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day with God. So you might be the only one that knows the answer, John. Tell us.
Well, you ask heavy theological questions, Pastor.
Well, I'm a heavy theological pastor.
This is, you know, PhD level. Pastor Ernie, my opinion is that we're all like mature in heaven. I don't think there's any growing. That's my opinion, that we're all like 30-ish in heaven.
Okay, well, yeah, I can see that. That's basically what I was thinking. But we know that there'll be children in heaven. Are they going to stay children forever?
No, I don't think so, Pastor.
So then that's the question, I guess, probably, unless Seth can tell us. We're going to have to wait till we get to heaven to find out, huh?
Well, I know one scripture, Pastor, says that, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And I believe that there's a portion of that is just reserved when we get over on that other side, we'll understand those things.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. Now, let me go back to that last verse. But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him. So David is saying very clearly that he's going to be with his son.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be with his son, so he knows that. God's let him know that, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
But he shall not return to me. So David knows what we know. I have a son in heaven, and I will go to him.
Yeah, yeah.
And but we're going to have to wait and find out. Like you said, I've had some dreams, these were just dreams. But anyhow.
Also, Pastor, on your question there, will we know our loved ones? This also reminds me of the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And we know that when the rich man died, we know, of course, he was in torments in hell.
We did that one yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. But he recognized Lazarus.
Lazarus.
And we talked about that. That's one of the parable.
Mm-hmm.
That's a true parable. We know that because it's the only parable in the Bible where names are mentioned, where they're called by names. Okay.
Yeah.
All the rest, they just refer to a rich man, or they refer to this man, or a servant, okay, mm-hmm. or the Lord of the vineyard.
Yeah.
But in that one, and then, of course, there was another Lazarus, too, that was raised from the dead. So
mm-hmm.
So there you go. Now we got to find out this. What about animals? Will there be animals in heaven? People ask me all the time, will we know our pets? Somebody turned to Isaiah chapter 11. In Isaiah chapter 11, read me verses 6 through 9.
The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of an asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover.
Okay, so now, has this ever happened in the past where the bear and the lions and the wolves would eat straw and like an ox? Has that ever happened in the past?
I think so, didn't it? Right after the creation at the beginning?
Before the flood. So we're going back. Now, this is he's speaking here in the millennial kingdom, okay? We'll ask McTurn on this because, again, like I said, he knows things that nobody else knows. In fact, it's been said that McTurn knows things that McTurn don't know.
Uh-oh.
No, I lost my train of thought on that one. There you go.
Pastor Ernie, here's a real obvious, simple one. When Christ returns, what is he returning of?
When he returns, what is he returning of?
On.
Well, you see, yeah, well, that's where we're going next, to Revelation chapter 19. But before we go there, we have to discuss this because this is during the millennial kingdom. This is during the millennial kingdom, okay? But now let me ask you a question, because the Bible talks about God's creation, that God had created, and the creation is complete. But is there anywhere in Scripture where it refers to God as uncreating? Did God ever uncreate?
Gee, that's interesting.
Yeah.
How can uncreate?
You know what?
I don't think so, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah. You're right. There isn't. There's no place in where he says he uncreates. So if he doesn't uncreate, and we have all of these animals, we're still going to have all these animals, aren't we?
That's right.
All righty. John, what you were talking about is Revelation 19, because what we're going to do is we see the Lord, starting with verse 11, and four categories of saints. The Lord is getting ready to return back to earth, isn't he? And he's got four categories of saints with him. And I always ask people, who knows what those four categories of saints are? Who could tell me?
Well, his bride, us.
Well, now let's start. The first category in the Old Testament is angels. He's referring to angels as saints. And then you had the Old Testament saints, you had the New Testament saints, and the Tribulation saints. And now he's returning back to earth, and this is where we're leaving out of Revelation 19, but he's returning back in Zechariah 14 with all the four categories of the saints. And now they're all returning on white horses. They're going to be riding white horses. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think the number of those white horses? Because we're talking about all those saints. How many white horses do you think there's going to be?
A lot, Pastor. A real lot.
Now, in that situation, too, is he going to be riding these white horses across millions and billions of miles of space, or are we going to see doors opening? Are we going to see dimensions, different dimensions?
Oh, different dimensions. It tells you right there in verse 11, that I saw heaven open.
Yep.
That's good. That's good.
And then you look in Revelation chapter 6, the sixth seal, and heaven's rolled back like a scroll. You know, so, and, yeah, there's going to be heaven and earth are going to be like one there.
What about Jacob's ladder? Jacob's ladder, when a door opened above him.
Right. That's a portal.
That was right above him. Wasn't thousands of miles out in space, was it?
Right. It's a portal, right?
And then in John, in Revelation 4, when John was speaking and he said, and what happened? And I was caught up and into heaven, right above him, a door opened, huh?
Yes.
Yes. And so all of a sudden a door opens, and we go, we're transported through across space, and we land over there. And guess where we land? Right there in Jerusalem. And guess where? Right at the Mount Olives. And the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is going to be standing in the exact place where he was when he left this world, huh?
That's correct. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 11, I believe. The angel told the disciples that this same Jesus is going to return as you've seen him go.
That's right. That's right.
And so he brings all of the saints back, the armies of heaven. What do armies do?
Fight.
Yes.
So we're not going to be spectators. We're going to be coming back with our glorified bodies. Now, the object of going to war is to kill more of the enemy than they kill of you, right? Now, if we can't die, does that give us a decisive advantage over the armies of the earth?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
So a lot of people get confused. They think it's all the people, but it's not. It's just the armies of the world, not all the people of the world, okay? And so there's going to be... Now, it's not going to be like in the days where he took them and Pharaoh's chariots and Pharaoh's mighty men. These, you know, no, it's going to be different. Yeah. We're going to come back, and we're going to be talking about, you know, modern weapons of today. We're going to be fighting against armies with modern weapons of today.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to be doing it with our glorified bodies.
Right, right. And it says there, Pastor, in verse 15, that they're going to be facing, it says, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So they're going to be facing the wrath of God when we return. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That
wine press, when he threads it, it's going to be, the blood's going to be to the horse's bridle,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be for about 120 miles long, And that's from the judgment of Jesus Christ on them, the wrath. He's going to, it's like a big wine press. And so the blood will come out of that people. It'll be as high as the horse's bridle.
Well, actually, I think what you're talking is, did you ever watch horses run when the horses run on the track? The horse is running on the track. If there's mud on the track, he kicks it up, and the mud goes right to their bridle. I've been over to that Valley of Megiddo. There's not enough blood of all the people in the whole wide world and all the animals competitive to fill that. Okay, so I believe he's talking about the blood will be up to the horse's bridle in the sense that that's exactly where it'll be kicked up to as they go to battle and fight. Okay, but that is, well, John, you've been there to the Valley of Megiddo. That place is huge. I mean, you could put Lake Erie in there, couldn't you?
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah. Well, it talks about outside the city, Pastor Ernie. So I think it pinpointing the location is outside Jerusalem, where it starts.
All righty, very good. We probably better stop right there. So we've come to the point where we understand that there's going to be animals in heaven. And here's what I believe. This is my theory. Okay, I believe that in heaven, there's going to be possibilities. Well, nothing will be impossible. I believe that nothing will be impossible. I believe that we'll actually be able to, just by thinking about our pets, or just by bringing them back to memory, we'll be able to recreate those animals right there. That's what I believe. Now, I don't have any biblical basis for that. But because, you know, the Bible says all things are possible. All things are possible. All things means all things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that, John?
I agree with you, Pastor Ernie. I mean, the pets become like part of the family, and that love with pets comes from God. God is love. Mm-hmm. And I don't see any reason why in eternity we wouldn't have pets with us.
Yeah, yeah.
All righty. We went past up our first break tonight, but that's all right. We were going. We were on a roll, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
Okay, so now with that, tonight, you know where we were? We were bringing America Back to Life convention. And this was absolute dynamite. I'm telling you, John, it's the largest pro-life activity, convention, conference, if you will, in America. The largest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you what I saw was that the morale of the people is higher than it's ever been. Right now, the folks down there, it's like we're on a roll. Let's take America back. And I kept hearing abolishing abortion, abolishing abortion all the way. These folks say we have to stop it. Now they're starting, and you know what? More and more tonight than I've seen at the pro-life rallies before is the mention of God, God, God.
Yes.
Okay. Scripture reading, all the speakers. It was like, hey, guess what? They're awakening. They're awakening. Okay. And so, and again. The other things too was that they're finally realizing, you know, in the past, you know, well, you know, the Democrats really aren't bad people. They're just a little bit confused or incompetent. No, they're bad. They're bad. They need to repent. These people, they're in lockstep when it comes to sin. They're corrupt. They're completely corrupt. I can honestly say. And I don't like to have to say this. I don't, you know. But I don't know one Democrat that's not corrupt. I can't think of one Democrat at all that is not corrupt. And so, and they need repentance.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, and I mean on a major scale. And so, what do you think it is with, you know, Trump had made the point about all that they had tried to do to him and how they failed. And he asked them, how's that working out for you? Now, we're seeing, John, the lawfare. We're seeing these stay-behinds, these holdover, these corrupt judges, and they're still pulling this lawfare. And how do you think that's going to work out for them? Are you there? Did we lose him?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, it's not like it was his first term. I mean, he's got the right people in there now. They're purging out the Justice Department layer by layer. They're purging out the FBI. You know, so he's got the power of the government behind him. Now, today I want to share this headline with you. Let me find out where it is. Yeah, here it is, right here. Secret resistance agreement between blue states, left-wing groups, and New York City law firms to conduct coordinated lawfare against Doge and Elon Musk. So the what's left of the deep state now is gathering together because they've got to stop Doge, because that's where their money, that's a big piggy bank for them. And it's being stripped away from them. They have to have that money and the power that's coming from it. So, yeah, they're going to coordinate to try and move and stop Trump now every way they can.
Oh, here we go. This is from 2 days ago. Senator blasts Ohio judges for claiming emergency powers can stop ICE deportations. Now, Ohio Republican Senator Bernie Moreno is blasting a handful of corrupt judges in the state of Ohio for claiming that emergency powers allow them to invalidate federal immigration laws and to prevent ICE from rounding up and deporting illegal aliens. Wait, let me ask you this, John, because where do these judges get the authority to invoke emergency powers?
No, they don't. It's the governor, that the president of the United States, or the governors of the states.
Well, our governor hasn't done that.
Right. So, and it's like the governor has to invite the military to come into the into Ohio. There's some disaster. The president can't send U.S. military in there. They have to be requested by the governor of Ohio.
Moreno ripped these rogue judges, and one judge in particular, for claiming that they have the power to block ICE immigration enforcement activities in Ohio. In his March 4th letter, the senator criticized Franklin County Judge Kim Brown. I think this is the same woman here that ruled on Ohio law. The law in Ohio is that these babies that are murdered in these bloody whorehouses of death called abortion mills have to be given either a burial or cremated. But and I believe this is the same wicked woman judge that said, no, that would be too much of a burden on planned predators. They could just throw their bodies in the landfill. That's pure evil. And we prayed that whatever it would take, that God would bring this wicked, wicked woman to repentance, no matter what it took, that he would bring her down crying and screaming in her face, because it's pure evil, pure wickedness. And that's the Franklin County Judge Kim Brown. And so here now, and warned her that no one is above the law, but added, and yet you're giving illegal aliens a pass. Do you know what Nancy Pelosi just came out and said again? She said, building a wall on the border violates the rights of millions of illegals. That's what she actually said that. Building a wall will violate the rights of millions of illegals.
Bet she got a wall around her house.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Okay. So here now.
Well, you're talking about is bringing something to the surface that is really, really important. When we look at the Constitution, and the area about the Supreme Court and the federal courts, this, what they're doing now, the way the federal courts are, there's nothing in the Constitution. They've made it up. They've usurped the power. And the problem is that, like this judge, you just said, is this a male or female judge?
Female, Kim.
Yeah. It's like, well, you said, where does she get the power to do it? They've stolen that power, and on all levels, the state Congress, the federal Congress, has not brought these judges under control. What right, Pastor Ernie, does some district judge, federal judge, will say in Ohio, what right does that judge, now I'm talking about federal, have a right to put a national, to bind up a presidential order or a Congress law and say that it's null and void all throughout the country? You know, in other words, they're putting an injunction. That's the word I was thinking of. What right does a federal judge have to do that? No right at all. Zero.
So they need to start bringing charges against this judge.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. What they should do is the president says, I am ignoring a district, this district judge in, you know, pick whatever state, Washington, D.C. I'm ignoring this decision. He has no authority to do this. Where does this district judge gain the authority, have the authority to put a nationwide injunction on my executive order?
In other words, what these judges actually have ruled is said, look, and here that the Supreme Court came out and they said, yes, you're going to have to continue this wasteful, illegal spending. In other words, now, and we got sold out. I mean, Trump got sold out. We knew that Roberts has been a rhino for a long time. You know, we really couldn't count. But remember, I told you before about Amy Coney Barrett. I told her that remember when she first went in, I said, I think we have another Sandra Day O'Connor. Since then, she's voted with the Democrats several times, hasn't she?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. She should have held her ground there in the 2020 election, but she didn't.
And you know, there was something too. Did when you watched Tuesday night when Trump was walking in, when he first was walking in, there on the left was the Supreme Court. Roberts was there, and Barrett was there. Did you see the looks on their faces? I mean, when I saw that, I thought, boy, there's something up here. You know, this is, they weren't really, it seems like they weren't very excited to see President Trump, were they?
No, they weren't. And I'll tell you who was not happy to see him was the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They were frozen solid. Did you notice that, Pastor Ernie? Because he's about to fire them all.
Yeah.
They're all woke, and they've been promoting that DEI and all of that. And he's about ready to fire them all. But they were frozen solid in his presence.
Yeah,
yeah. I think it's going to be up to Pete Hegseth, to fire those generals. And so,
the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I don't know. But everything below them, for sure, he can fire. You know, so here we go, Pastor Ernie. We have some federal district judge in Washington, D.C., that puts a nationwide injunction on the executive branch, on the President of the United States, who was elected by 75 million people, whatever it was. Who is this judge? Where does the judge get the authority to do this? They've usurped it. And it's time for the president and Congress to take this back from the federal courts.
Absolutely. It's way past time, isn't it? And so, yeah, and that's what we had. We had all this lawfare. Look, you had this Jack Smith a special prosecutor, but he had no more authority than you or I to be a special prosecutor. He was never appointed.
Exactly right.
Okay. So everything he did, okay, now, by the way, all of this stuff coming out, too, with Obama here, I have copies that have come out, which we knew of before, but they're copies of Obama's birth certificate. And it shows you very clearly that he was born in Kenya. And that, you know, he was not. And the fact that he started school here as a foreign student, not an American citizen. And so we knew that. I mean, I knew that years ago that he was born in Kenya. In fact, Seth, if you look at that clip we have, or the recording of Obama, your mama, whatever, if you have that, it's the one with Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton was the first birther. He was there in Kenya, and he was talking to the mayor of Kenya. And he says, so is this the place where Barack Obama was born? And he says, yes, it is. It's here. And, you know, right here is the place he was born. They had a little building and all of this stuff, you know, to commemorate Barack Obama's birthplace. In fact, you know who else was there? Was Michelle Obama. She was out and she was there speaking. And she said, yes, this is the birthplace of my husband. Okay. And so what that actually would mean is, because we don't, Obama had at least four Social Security cards. And, you know, we saw all listed to him. And so that means that everything he did was illegal, that he was never really a legitimate president of this country because he wasn't born in America. But, I mean, you have to be born in America, not just born to American parents, right? Come on, John.
No, Pastor Ernie, I, if your parents are American citizens, it doesn't matter where you're born, don't think.
Well, his parents weren't American citizens. You know.
Right, but that's the issue. If your parents are American citizens, you're an American citizen.
So it seems like everything, I mean, everything about the left is corrupt. Everything, okay? There's nothing that's not corrupt. I mean, they're all completely corrupt. We saw with Joe Biden, unbelievable what, you know, he did everything he could possibly do while he was in there to destroy this country. So we're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, we have a bunch of articles to go through, so we're going to do that. So we'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. So don't go away, because John is going to overwhelm us. We'll be right back.